Tom Vilsack closes out a second tour of duty as our nation's agriculture secretary, a total of 12 years as head of that department. On the first portion of the Early Bird this morning, some of his reflections on his time in office and also of continuity between two different eras of service. Rod Bain visits with the secretary.
One of the longest-serving U.S. agriculture secretaries in history prepares to conclude the time of his second era of service to the department. Yet how might the second stint of Tom Vilsack as secretary be best remembered for?
That, to me, is the story here, that if you have this opportunity to serve, and I have had the privilege and opportunity to have it twice, and being the first person to have it in this way, we wanted to make sure we took advantage of it.
If you have ever visited USDA headquarters in Washington, D.C., specifically the Witten Building patio, you will find in its first two stories painted portraits of all agriculture secretaries. That includes that of Tom Vilsack from his first term of service from 2009 to 2017. With a second four-year service as agriculture secretary now concluding, some might be surprised when he says a second portrait reflecting this latest time in office is not necessarily needed. The reason?
I like the way I look down there, and I know that if there were a second portrait, I'd look a lot older.
Beyond that, Secretary Vilsack reveals the focus of his initial portrait reflects not his first term, but of the various mission areas of the Agriculture Department and those serving in those missions.
If you look at that, you see just about a symbol of virtually every mission area of the department, and that was the purpose of it.
So, Secretary Vilsack, let's say a portrait from your second stint in office is produced. What should it reflect?
If I were to do a portrait, what I'd like for folks to appreciate is that there's a consistency in the work that was done while I was secretary at USDA.
One example of this consistency, threads, as the secretary describes them, is...
During the Obama administration, we did a lot in nutrition. We had the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act and Mrs. Obama's Let's Move initiative and focused on the My Plate, establishing a better icon for people to understand what a healthy foods plate looks like.
Threads that continued in the food and nutrition space at USDA during the secretary's time in the Biden administration.
We took the next step in that process. We increased and improved the school meal rule by focusing on added sugars, making it healthier. We looked at the SNAP program and said we need to recalculate it based on what's happening in the world today. That resulted in a significant increase in SNAP benefits. We looked at the WIC program and said, you know, it's great, but it could be better. It could be modern. It could be providing online options. It could be encouraging more fruits and vegetable consumption. We looked at the opportunity for a meaningful summer feeding program by providing families of free and reduced lunch children additional financial assistance, so in those 3 months between when school ends and when school starts, kids will continue to get a good meal. And we know from research that that works.
While there is no indication this would be part of Tom Vilsack's potential second secretarial portrait, many might associate this latest time in office with his efforts to promote a circular economic model to agriculture and rural America, best reflected in what became known as the whiteboard. The message of value added among various new and expanded market opportunities for farmers, ranchers, and rural entrepreneurs became refined, more concise over the course of 3 years of presentation at various events across the farm and food spectrum. That came not just from repetition of presentation. Secretary Vilsack is quick to point to the feedback and guidance of wife Christy in formation of the message. For instance, in regards to the number of farms lost over the past four decades.
Turns out we've lost a heck of a lot of farms, 544,970 of them. So I'm telling my wife this. She said, well, that sounds like a lot of farms, but can you put it in the context of something that people understand? How many farmers is that? Like, is that the number of farmers that are in Iowa today? And I start totaling up. How many states does it take to get to 544,000? Well, it turns out 10 states. People go, whoa, well, this is something. Why is this? Now gotten people's attention.
In addition, as data has and continues to come in on USDA programs focused on expanding potential revenue sources, Secretary Vilsack says that provides presentations of success stories and in turn facilitates conversations on family farms about potential economic opportunities at the farm and rural community level.
With some of the new opportunities that are out there, if we're entrepreneurial, if we're thoughtful about this, we can generate enough income from different sources. We can make a go of it. Now we'll have to work hard, but we can make a go of it. Now you can have that opportunity to be on this farm and inherit the farm, and your kids can see the benefits of living here, and we'll be able to watch you and your kids grow up. Now, to me, that conversation is the one we want.
And he says promotion of a circular economy to benefit all of agriculture is a mission he expects to continue in the days and months to come. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
I found the Secretary's comments looking back over his years in service very interesting, and I hope you did as well. Continuing now with more news on today's Early Bird. Mentioned, of course, that Ag Secretary Vilsack will be leaving his position due to the administration change. Well, here in Illinois, we also will have a new executive director of the Farm Service Agency. Scott Halpin, of course, has been in that position the last few years, and I think, according to all reports, has done a very good job, and I've enjoyed my relationship with him. But again, due to the election change, he has left his position. In other news, after a tough economic year that affected sales of automated sprayers, drones, and other precision technologies, the ag tech market is expected to continue growing in terms of scale and product offering. With margins tight, farmers have held on to older equipment rather than buying the latest tractors with all the bells and whistles. And during this time, manufacturers have turned to retrofitted equipment as more affordable options for farmers that are looking at upgrades on an as-need basis. Additionally, innovations in AI will increase decision-making and productivity on the farm and become a cornerstone for ag companies, according to Ron Barucci, CEO of Agmatix. Digital twin technology and increased adoption of biosolutions are also expected to drive significant progress in the new year. We anticipate even more significant advancements in data-driven agriculture, machine learning, and other innovative solutions, allowing us to tackle resource constraints, according to Barucci. Shifting farm bill negotiations could also impact sustainable agriculture funding. With a new president about to be inaugurated, a lot of, what will happen, what won't happen in the years ahead, pertaining to agriculture and really pertaining to everything here in the United States, is kind of all up in the air. A few things that I haven't had the opportunity to mention, I wanted to this morning. The East Coast port strike was averted after a tentative deal was reached a few days ago. Although I mentioned this a few days ago, an important reminder again today, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit delayed enforcement of the Corporate Transparencies Act beneficial ownership information reporting requirement indefinitely while legal challenges proceed. It's recommended that Illinois business owners monitor developments and determine whether they may be affected if the mandate is reinstated. Also a few days ago, January 6th, the Illinois legislature passed HB 4439, which designates the soybean as Illinois' official state bean. HB 4439 recognizes the importance of soybeans to the state's economy and ag heritage. Illinois is the number one soybean-producing state in the nation, with over 10 million acres of beans planted each year, accounting for 16% of the total U.S. soy production. HB 4439 acknowledges the contribution of the 43,000 hardworking soybean farmers across the state who feed and fuel the world. Well, that'll do it for the Early Bird this morning. I'm certainly glad you joined us. Hope you will again next Saturday. And as I always say, have a good weekend. I'm Mike Perrine.